Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You know, some sponsors, you like some news you can't stand because it is a misinterpretation. So don't listen to that news about saturated fat milk being better than skim milk. It isn't. It is if the replacement in calories is simple sugar, but it should never be. That's one of the five food felons, too. If you replace the saturated fat with a healthy fat, you're much better off than having whole milk. So saturated fat isn't a benefit. It's only a benefit if the alternative is another poison. So don't have one of those food felons, saturated fat. Go skim milk if you're going to have milk and replace the extra calories you get rid of with a healthy fat like olive oil or a complex carbohydrate, not a simple sugar. So the key is what the substitution is. You have to read the study. And good, I'm glad that Well is one of our sponsors. You're listening, of course, to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. This is the show that's passionate, and that's why I went right into it, about your taking control of your health, and you're having so much control that you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. In the first hour of this show today, and some of your stations carry the first hour, some carry the second hour, but it was such a good guest for the last half hour of the first hour, I want you, as I will, listen to it again. John Markoff, M-A-R-K-O-F-F, Machines of Loving Grace, talked about the difference between artificial intelligence in machines, which will end up taking over from us and controlling us and maybe replacing us in our jobs, and intellectual augmentation in machines like Google Search, where they help us to be more productive and better. Clearly, in medical research, having the Google search engine, wonderful, great increase in productivity. Having something that replaces us, like, if you will, a totally artificial car, I think that makes me more productive. But obviously, it displaces some people, and that is a concern. But I like the fact that in the break between the two shows, even hotels, Well is their site. They're a hotel chain that literally makes it really easy for you to eat healthy food, really easy to get your sleep, really easy to live healthy. And by the way, if you go to Las Vegas, well, I don't know if you can get even hotels. You can get the Even Hotel in New York City. But in Las Vegas, go to one of the hotels that has the Well standard of room, that is, the Get Well rooms are at, or the Stay Well rooms, I should say, the Stay Well rooms are at the MGM Grand, and go and sign up for one of those. A little more expensive, not much more, but you get better lighting, better air purification, better water. Great way of living healthier. The Well standard of rooms, or the Stay Well rooms at Las Vegas, the Well standard is from Delos Living. We have a lot of stories that we haven't gotten to in the first hour, one of which is non-celiac gluten sensitivity is real and really affects those affected. I've got to tell you how that worked. We're going to talk about tea and coffee, and are they both healthy, or is one healthier than the other, and which would you go to? And for preventing health fairs, heart failure, health fair, how did I get that? For preventing heart failure, 30 minutes of exercise may not be as optimal as doing more. We'll get to that as well. Before Gary Ginsberg will join us at 18 after the hour talking about some wonderful stories in the news as well. A great asthma question. Why is there asthma increased in Connecticut this year? Is it due to an increase in air pollution from coal burning, or is it due to something else or particulates? What's causing it? In Connecticut, where Gary Ginsberg is, in fact, a environmental health director. We'll also talk about death in a can of paint stripper with Gary? Does Target have the answers to Congress on why it's been inactive on chemicals? Also, a bonus question asked again by a reader and a listener. You can, by the way, always ask us questions. I'm not going to get to them today's show because I don't have the site up. Because I've, in a way, I'm at ShareCare.com. You can go to ShareCare.com. They own the Real Age website, but they also have a lot of other things that help you live healthier. ShareCare.com, RealAge.com. I'm there in Atlanta, Georgia, here in Atlanta, Georgia for the show, so I only have one computer, and I'm doing the script rather, what I do is the script rather than questions. So if you sent me something on udocs@gmail.com, I'm sorry I didn't get it today. You can call in, and I'm going to ask our esteemed engineer Ben to tell you the phone number to call in, or tell me the number so I can tell you. But the bonus question this week, you asked which non-VW, you heard that he didn't buy, he did buy a car, but it wasn't a VW car. Which non-VW car did Dr. G buy and why? Also, how do bacteria protect the liver from toxic chemicals? All from Gary G. Let's see if we can get one of these stories in before the break at coming up shortly. This is the study on, if you will, the celiac, that is non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Now, there are a lot of patients who claim they're sensitive to gluten, but when you test them by the classic allergy standards of testing against gluten, testing against the other proteins that are commonly accompany wheat, they don't test positive. Yet they say they have bloating and they have other feelings of pain and badness, if you will, abdominal pain and severe bloating. So what this researcher group did is they laced a little bit of their food, unbeknownst to them, 61 people, in a crossover study. Some weeks they had gluten in their food, and other weeks they didn't. And what happened? Well, you guessed it. There was a severe, and they didn't know it. So this was unknown to them. They had small amounts, really tiny amounts of gluten. This was done in Italy and under strict randomized controlled fashion. And what they found is compared with placebo, the intake of gluten significantly increased the overall symptoms in these people, which leads us and them to conclude that there really is a thing of non-gluten gluten sensitivity. That is, if you will, of the non-celiac, I meant to say, gluten sensitivity. That is sensitivity when these people don't have celiac disease and when they don't have, if you will, a blood test that shows gluten sensitivity. These people who really said they did feel better when they went off did feel better in the weeks they got the rice starch compared to the weeks they had the gluten included in their food. So there is really something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and it does cause significant abdominal bloating and significant pain. Really remarkable and well done study. So we should note that. Now, what about heart failure? Can you do exercise? And if you do, can you, as someone who's doing it, prevent heart failure? And this was a study, a large study, it was 12 studies were looked at, and they looked at the results from the 12 studies. It was 370,000 people. And they said, what is the reduction in heart failure based on the amount of exercise? Well, you'll have to stay tuned. We'll get to the results after Gary Ginsberg. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest point for the longest amount of time, living younger, longer. And we have my favorite part of the show right now with Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not. Gary lives in Connecticut and serves the state of Connecticut. But Gary, this was a question from one of our listeners. Why is the asthma rate so high in Connecticut this year? The questioner said that she and a number of her friends had been having increased asthma symptoms. They went to their local physician, their chest physician, and he says it's all over Connecticut, and it must be due to the airflow coming in, bringing in increased particulates. What's the truth? What's the cause, and is there increased particulates due to air changes in Connecticut this year, Gary?
Well, hi, Mike. Great to be on again. And every summer is a challenge for air quality in the northeast of the United States. And some of it has to do with how much traffic there is, but a lot has to do with the weather patterns. And we had a couple of weeks without any rain. You know, rain tends to clear out the atmosphere. A lot of hot, sunny days, some weather inversions where the weather just sort of hung for a while. And so, you know, I don't know what the statistics are. We do keep those statistics. Our environmental agency does in Connecticut, as well as other states in New England. I don't know, you know, if you're comparing us to Mexico City or China or Beijing, we're probably way ahead of the curve. But, you know, compared to other summers, this past summer might have been on the high side. Now, your listeners said that they had moved to Connecticut from somewhere else, and their asthma symptoms seem to be worse here. And there's a couple of reasons why when you move, your allergies, your asthma may change. Number one are the local ragweed, the local allergens, the local mold spores. Your body may take a while to adjust. You may just have a harder time living in certain parts of the country than elsewhere because of allergies. And number two, because of air quality. And this particular summer, as I said, was more challenging than others for things like ozone. Doesn't mean that Connecticut is any worse place to live than anywhere else in New England, for example. You know, we do tend to get power plant emissions from the Midwest that blow up in our direction. And I know at one point the governors of New England had sued some of the major coal-producing states to, you know, get controls over that. And EPA is the federal authority that tries to manage all those airshed issues. Mercury moves around in pockets around the country, and so does ozone and particulate pollution. So I don't think Connecticut is any worse than any of the other New England states, but it may be a little bit worse than, say, Wyoming, you know, which is kind of far from pollution sources. But overall, and usually urban areas or highly suburbanized areas might be a little bit worse than more rural spaces. So that's the general lay of the land.
So this year, the listener was right in that this year seemed to be a worse year, at least in the Northeast.
Yeah, a couple of summers ago, we had a lot of rain, and, you know, pollution levels were down. It wasn't quite as hot and sunny.
So you take the good with the bad, the sun with too much sun and not enough rain. Death in a can of paint stripper, what's that about? Is paint stripper, you know, when we were doing it, they always, their label said, make sure there's plenty of ventilation. And of course, you'd use the paint stripper in winter because that's the time you'd work inside with the paint.
Well, if you're working inside with stripping projects, try to make sure that it is with an open window, plenty of fresh air, because this paint stripper, which hopefully will be phased out, is methylene chloride based, which can form carbon monoxide. Believe it or not, it can form carbon monoxide in your blood. Also, it's a long-term carcinogenic effect, but there have been about 100 cases documented of acute severe poisoning because of poor ventilation and people using these strippers, say, while they're leaning over a bathtub to remove the worn-down finish in a bathtub and to refinish it. You want to get it stripped down, and methylene chloride version paint stripper will do that. It softens the enamel and removes the layer of paint. However, when you're leaning over a bathtub, you know, you're creating sort of this confined space. Methylene chloride can make you dizzy, can make you feel sleepy. You might pass out actually into a tub that has methylene chloride in it and die. And that has happened, as I said, between 50 and 100 times. And so it's an acute poisoning issue. It's a real major safety issue. So if you're going to go to the hardware store on a paint refinishing, paint stripping project, you could look for a paint, stripper that's got NMP in it, which N-methylpyrrolidine is not quite as toxic. Hopefully, the federal authorities that have recently done a risk assessment on methylene chloride will be at least improving the labeling, if not phasing out methylene chloride altogether. I believe California has phased out methylene chloride from paint strippers, but around the rest of the country, you really have to be careful. If you're going to use the stuff with methylene chloride in it, good ventilation is essential if you don't want to run the risk of emergency room or worse.
So definitely a fan into the bathtub if you're doing it. At least I was doing it on a wall where I could have a fan against it. What about target and chemicals that they're inactive or in not doing much about?
Well, Target is a big chain store. Walmart's a big chain store. And the question I posed in my post to you, Mike, is Target going to take care of the problem that Congress can't take care of? So we've had chemical policy in this country that's badly outdated. It's from the 1970s. It's called TSCA. And Congress has been fighting over what version of TSCA to work on. And right now there's a couple of bills that may move forward on TSCA reform. None of them are perfect. It's been years in the arguing over. And companies like Walmart and Target, under a lot of consumer pressure, have sort of upstaged Congress by saying, well, we don't really care what the federal rule is. We know that there are toxic chemicals, too toxic in too many products, and we're getting pressure from our customers. And we're going to demand from our manufacturers of everything from cleaning products to cosmetics, personal care products. We're going to demand better stewardship, better safety measures, less toxic chemicals. And so there's a watch list of about 100 chemicals that both Walmart and Target are now, they don't have an absolute ban on them in their products, but they're saying, we'll do business with you guys if we'll put you more prominent in the store if you cut down. So it's a huge step, and when you look to the free market economy the way we have it here, without a lot of regulatory controls over the consumer marketplace, it's great to see the retailers step up. And we're not going to pass the buck down the line. We're going to take control of this issue. So kudos to them.
In fact, great kudos to Walmart and Target. They're doing it not only for chemicals, but they're doing it for food to make that healthier and safer for us all. Gary, I can't resist asking this question, but both the question on what non-VW car did you buy and how do bacteria protect the liver from toxic chemicals, can you hang on or should we put these to next week?
No, I'll hang with you, Mike.
Okay, so when you come back, we're going to reveal what car, non-VW obviously, Gary Ginsberg bought and why he bought it and why it's environmentally good for you. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we're talking with Gary Ginsberg. WhatsToxic.com is his website. Come right back, and we'll talk about his car.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available, They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meetings, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm coming to you today live from Atlanta, Georgia, Sharecare's offices. Of course, our engineering, and Ben, the engineer, is up in peripheral Chicago, that is suburban Chicago. Gary Ginsburg is in Connecticut. Our uplink this week is in New York City. And you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where you get to control your health. Gary bought a new car. Is that right, Gary? And what kind is it? And why did you buy what you bought? That's the question our listeners are asking.
Yeah, well, the context was a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the VW, you know, disaster with how they had lied and cheated on their emissions. And a lot of people, very environmentally conscious people like myself, were interested in the Volkswagen. Some of them had really good cargo space, almost like a small station wagon, and yet we're getting 40 to 50 miles per gallon. So, look, you can always go out there and get one of those really small, tiny cars and get 50 miles per gallon or more. But if you want something that, you know, you can haul a family around in, take on vacation with you, what's the car? So that's what my wife and I were asking. And the Volkswagen off the table, we ended up shopping around. I can't say that I do all the best consumer shopping, but from what I could tell, Toyota, and believe me, I am not, you know, paid for by Toyota. I don't like, advertising for certain products, but I do believe Toyota makes a really good car, and they make a Toyota Prius V. V stands for, not for victory, but for versatile. And its Prius V is surprisingly large, gets 42 miles per gallon overall, which it's hard to find that. It's the hybrid technology which Toyota started and has mastered. And so I think, you know, for the consumer dollar, look, it's probably $10,000 more per car than some of the, you know, really inexpensive high miles per gallon cars. But it's bigger than those, and you get a lot of miles per gallon. And so it's really good for the environment. I really, you know, hope that people will take mass transit or ride their bicycles for their own personal health, but also for planetary health. And if you do got to put yourself into a car, you know, make it the least gas guzzler that you possibly can. That's good for everybody.
So Gary Ginsberg tells you what he got and basically the criteria. It gets a lot of miles to the gallon in an environmentally safe way. Perfect for an environmentalist. Gary, how do bacteria, this is an interesting story because they're toxic chemicals, and how does the liver protect you? That is, what does bacteria in your gut or in your liver have to do with the ability of the liver to protect us from toxic chemicals?
Yeah, now this is a fascinating story, and this is really the future, I think, of medicine and toxicology, is the microbiome, and how does our intestinal flora of bacteria change our response to physiological stress as well as to chemical stress. So here's an experiment by University of California, San Diego researchers in normal mice, and then in what's called germ-free mice. The germ-free mice don't have any bacteria in their gut. Their gut is sterile. And the germ-free mice had significantly more toxicity from two different types of chemical toxins to the liver, thioacetamide and carbon tetrachloride. And the really impressive thing is that in one case, it was injections of carbon tetrachloride, so it wasn't even going through the stomach canal for the chemical to get to the liver. So you could make sense that, okay, well, if the bacteria in your gut are different, or you're taking probiotics, or your gut was just wiped out, gut bacteria was just wiped out by antibiotics, you know, it may change the handling of the gut of this chemical that's coming in. But if it's injected and it's systemically available, then why should the gut biome affect your liver's response? So that, you know, that experiment showed very clearly that gut bacteria can be protective of toxins to the liver. And now the question is why? And so is it an immune factor that the gut biome is tied into the immune system and cuts down on the amount of inflammatory reactions surrounding a toxic insult? It's just right now we're at the beginning of understanding the connection and all the ways that the bacteria in our gut could protect us. But it does underscore the importance of making sure that, for example, you're not at risk from taking antibiotics and having your gut flora wiped out. So, you know, eating yogurt or taking probiotics. I can't wait to see the experiments where we experiment with probiotics in animal systems to see which kind of probiotics, which kind of bacteria, what flora, what mix of flora is most important in protecting us from chemicals. So right now the research is on the march.
I should tell you, Gary, as you know, but we should tell our listeners, that the hottest area, that is the area in pharmaceutical research where most money is going, is in fact the microbiome. That is, how do we change? So, for example, when you have red meat or when you have an egg yolk, we know that it changes the bacteria in your gut so that you produce things that are toxic for your liver and inflammatory to your arteries, impede your immune system so they increase cancer, and they also break down your blood-brain barrier so they cause, if you will, inflammation or a decreased mental function in the long term, and they actually cause renal dysfunction through the production of butylbutane, another thing that, in fact, the red meat and the egg yolks and processed meats do. So the hottest area of research, and Stan Hazen, who made the initial discoveries on this, has promised me that by this next March, March of 2016, he and someone else would have figured out, or he or someone else would have figured out what it is you can take with the meat or with the food or with the egg yolks to decrease your risk of heart attack, stroke, cancer, brain rot from these foods. So, as Gary said, this is the hottest area of research. If you want to come to our conference in Las Vegas, that's the subject we're going to be covering in greatest detail. And Stan Hazen, the originator of this, the one who's done the most substantial and most research on it, will be there to answer your questions. You can go and log on cclevelandclinic.org. Slash wellness and find out about the Las Vegas conference. There actually is a better website to that, which I'll give you next week and we'll tell you about, but it is the Las Vegas meeting that we'll be at. Now, Gary, I want to thank you for hanging around and sure. May you enjoy your new car fantastically. When we come back, we're going to quickly go to the heart failure study. And what does 30 minutes of exercise do? What does 60 minutes? What does 120 minutes? Is there an extra benefit for more exercise at preventing heart failure? Well, if you're, and I'm going to give you just the tease on it right now before we go to the break. If you're among the millions of Americans who carve out 30 minutes a day for walking fast, the amount of moderate intensity exercise recommended by experts based on the idea that you're doing all you can for your heart, you're in for some disappointing news. That's right, this study reviewed 12 other studies of 370,000 people, and what they found is yes, 30 minutes a day does modestly reduce heart failure, but you get more when you do more. And we'll come back to what the more is that you get. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. Thank you, Gary Ginsberg, for a great segment.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.,
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. Before we do, in case you missed it, where we'll wrap up everything of the show. I love that segment on the Dr. Oz show, so I'm copying it for our show. Before we do that, I want to get to a couple more stories. The new study says 30 minutes a day of exercise is not optimal. You should double, maybe even quadruple that. This was 12 studies looking at 370,000 people, and they looked at those who did 30 minutes of exercise and what they decreased their heart failure risk by, those who did 60 minutes, and those who did 120 minutes. And guess what? There was a good risk reduction at 30 minutes, about 12%. That's not trivial. 12% reduction in heart failure, that's pretty good. But for those who exercised 60 minutes, there was 60 minutes a day, that's 6,000 steps, not trivial, not the 10,000 steps I advocate, but not bad. They had a 20% reduction in, if you will, heart failure over the next couple years. What about those who did 120 minutes? Yeah, it bounced up to 35%, a huge 35% reduction. So it looks like, at least, that if you're looking at it in these people who developed heart failure, a very bad thing, that the 30 minutes a day guideline wasn't enough, that in fact there was a substantial risk reduction at roughly 12,000 steps a day compared to 6,000 35% risk reduction. So middle-aged adults who engage in about 10,000 steps a day, huge reduction in the risk of heart failure over subsequent years. Let's go and do the quick thing. Well, I've got an extra minute. I think I can pause. And this is tea as healthy as coffee? And the basic message is both are healthy. What should you have? From a health standpoint, you should have the one you like most, because higher quantities of both, and those, as long as you're not subject to a problem with the first couple cups of coffee or tea, that is, you'll get headaches. As long as you don't get the headaches, as long as you don't get gastric upset, heart abnormal heartbeats, or anxiety, then the more coffee and the more tea, the better. And the more cups, the lower your risk of developing a chronic disease. Which is better, coffee or tea? Well, it all depends on whether you get anxiety with one or the other, or just health. So both are good, both decrease your risk. Let's go over now all of the stories that we covered today, and we have to thank Gary Ginsberg, and of course we had a spectacular guest. John Markoff, Machines of Loving Grace, discussed whether the machines will go with AI, artificial intelligence, and replace us, and we won't have many workers, or we'll go to IA, as he calls it, intellectual augmentation, where we'll use the machines to make us all better. He comes down on the fact that he thinks we're going to end up with IA. That's obviously optimistic, but also that the machines that we have now, even if we collect all the data on health that they're collecting, the sleep rates, the heart rate rates, the exercise patterns, etc., none of these are at this point engaging enough, motivating enough for us to increase health behaviors. That is, we always have to look at them to tell where we are. He said that it's at the hand crank stage of automobiles, if you will. We just aren't getting close to what we need to get, he said. What else was in the in case you missed it? Well, wellness foreplay. If you're short of time, is sleep better than exercise? No, exercise is better. Doing all four components makes you about 9 years younger. Getting the optimal amount of sleep, that is 7 to 8 hours of sleep, only makes you about 2 years younger. Eating organic lowers pesticide levels by more than 50%. In kids exposed to pesticides, most important time to eat organic is when you're pregnant or about to become pregnant, and in the early child-rearing ages, that is when your kid is under 6 months old. Non-gluten celiac sensitivity is real. What do I mean by that? People who say they get bloated or severe pain when they have food with gluten in it, but don't have positive allergy tests to gluten and aren't celiac, when you look at them and put in a blinded fashion, that is, with them not knowing what's in it, a little gluten in their food compared to putting in some soy, they actually, in the gluten or the rice compared to rice, they get a lot more abdominal pain and bloating. It is a real phenomenon. We went up over tea and coffee. They're both healthy. Drink what you like drinking most. Thumbs up or down, you can make it great. Packaged food purchases at non-grocery stores are up, but nutritional quality is down. But many of these small stores and many of the big box stores are now carrying healthier things. Preventing heart failure? Yes. 30 minutes of exercise isn't enough. The more you do, the better you'll be, up to about that 12,000 step a day. We don't know whether 10,000 is as good as 12 at preventing heart failure. It looks like it will be. We didn't get to talk to you about the new antibiotic-resistant superbug. The new antibiotic-resistant superbug, CDC is worried about it. We don't know what to do about it other than wash your hands and make sure when you're in a hospital, everyone who visits you washes their hands in your presence, uses that alcohol or the, if you will, those lotions that you put on. Asthma, why is it increased in Connecticut? Too much good sun this year, not enough rain, so the pollen and the particulates stayed in the air longer. Paint stripper, if you're using it, especially if you're using it in a closed space, make sure you get good aeration, great aeration, good aeration, great aeration. What did Gary Ginsburg choose as a new car? He chose the one with the largest gas mileage, lowest use of gas per mile, and that was healthy and that really did get that gas mileage. And there's another story. Target and Walmart are actually doing healthy things to help protect you from toxic chemicals. They're not buying them from the manufacturers, and if they put in good chemicals, that is, if they use substitutes, they're giving them more prominent place in their shelf space in their stores. That's the great news about that. One other story from Gary Ginsburg that was interesting. Your microbiome apparently is important at detoxifying some toxic chemicals. That is, those bacteria in your gut are important for you and healthy for you. Next week, we have another, I can't believe, Donna Gould, our producer, rounded up another sensational guest, as almost as good as John Markoff. I don't know if anyone can be as good as John Markoff was. John Markoff, get the book, Machines of Grace. We'll be right back.